Father, again, we thank you for this great privilege we have. Lord, we thank you that you saved us, that you sent your Son, Jesus, to die for us. Lord, that we might be forgiven, and Lord, that we can know the joy of this celebration. Lord, being free from condemnation. Lord, we want to praise you, you who made an end of all our sin. Lord, we thank you and rejoice in you this morning, Lord. Praise your holy name. Lord, I just, Lord, we ask this morning that you would come and speak to us, and as we open up the scriptures, come, Holy Spirit, and just work in our hearts. Lord, unless you move in our lives, Lord, we're so powerless, Lord, so we just come. Lord, we, each of us, Lord, just open our lives to you and just ask you, come and speak to us. Come and have your way in our lives this morning. We praise you. We thank you, Lord, for this privilege again that we, Lord, are the redeemed of God. We thank you. We praise you. Lord, we lift up our loved ones. Lord, those who might be ill this morning who aren't here. Lord, loved ones who are away somewhere and perhaps far from the Lord. We lift them up to you this morning, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you that you are good. Lord, that you are powerful. That, Lord, Lord, there's nothing too hard for you. So we just thank you this morning. Lord, come again then and speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Revelation. Working our way kind of backwards through the seventh and the sixth chapter of Revelation. This morning will be a third topic we're going to look up, and it's called Sealed. Are you sealed? And it's mentioned 19 times in the book of Revelation, that word. And so we're going to look at that. That'll be kind of the main subject of our thoughts this morning. There's so much more in the book, you know. And just I enjoy going through line by line, word by word, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And when I originally started this is the third kind of message in this section of the scripture. I thought I could do it all in one Sunday, and I always fool myself, you know. But anyway, so we've looked at the warnings. There were all these warnings that we had early on in this chapter, chapter 6, as we opened up the sixth seal. There were the warnings. I spent a lot of time talking about false prophets, false teaching. So we went through that. Last week we talked about who is able to stand before the Lord. Who is able to stand? And by the grace of God, we found, you know, that if I'm the Lord's, he causes us to stand. He causes us to stand. And in that great day, we'll stand before him without condemnation. So who shall bring a charge against God's elect? For it is Christ who justifies. Isn't that amazing? We shall stand. Amazing. Just it's such a wonder, such a mystery. And then today, as I said, we're going to be on the seal. So let's read. There's just a couple verses that we have to read, and then we'll get into it. Chapter 7. Verse 1, after these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth. And let me just mention a little bit. You know, in chapter 7 and 6, we see no one being able to stand. In chapter 7, we see people standing. That were the angels that we just read about, and the redeemed, the innumerable number of men and women redeemed by God. They're standing. We've seen that the seals have been opened. This we just kind of done through the sixth seal. This chapter 7, instead of something being opened, the seal being opened, it's being sealed up. And that's one of the contradictions between the two chapters. So again, verse 1, after these things I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth. Again, Revelation being symbolic, not literal, and we've got north, south, east, west, the four corners. The earth doesn't have corners, it's round, you know, but it's symbolic that there are these four angels, and again, they're symbolic, and I'm not going to get into all that, but representing absolute authority over this globe. They're no place on this globe that the authority of this one who speaks isn't covered. So there's the four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the winds should not blow on the earth, or on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. And it goes through and lists the tribes. Verse 9, "And after these things, I looked and behold a great multitude which no one could number, of all the nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hand, and crying with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" So there we'll end. I'm going to back up and just mention some things as we go through this. In the first verse of chapter 7, there's these four angels, and their job there is they're in control of the four winds. And so there's a purpose. They're holding him because he's going someplace, and he doesn't want these winds to destroy certain men and women because he's going to seal them. So the picture is that nothing in that sense can take their life. Nothing can derail them until something happens. So there's a purpose in all this. He said the winds, you can't blow. And again, winds can picture for us tribulation. They could picture for us trials. And the third thing would be heresies. It's spoken of, and I think heresies. Yeah, let me read for you from Ephesians 4:14. "Be no longer children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine," being false doctrine. And so false doctrine heresies are known as the winds. In Jude, the book of Jude, and in verse 4, it says there, or sorry, verse 12, that there's false teachers carried about by the winds. So winds can also be false teaching. He's going to protect those that he's going to seal from these false winds. So again, he says then in verse 2, he says, "Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God." So this other angel arises, and this angel's carrying a seal with him. He's going to do something with a seal. This is the mission of the fifth angel, and he has authority over the other four, for he cries unto them, "Do not harm them. Do not harm the trees. Do not harm the sea. Do not harm the earth until something happens." So he cries this, and he's carrying a seal. So, I mean, have anyone ever had a letter that someone actually sealed with either the wax, stamp, or whatever it's made of, a letter? Have you ever seen that? Or am I? Dave hasn't. Okay, Joanne, you'll have to send him one. But a seal, again, in biblical days and today, a seal was this mark that was put on a parcel. And so the king or whoever it was, the person who's sending it would take, it might be wax, it could be some other kind of a resin that was put over the opening part of the letter or the parcel, and it was dripped there, and then he had it, typically might have a signet ring. And it would be the family crest, or it would be his signet ring, or a stamp that was a signet, had his name on it, or an initial on it. And then as that was still wet, he would seal it with that, stamped it. So if you received that letter, and that seal was broken, something's been tampered with. If you were doing the last will and testament of a man, and you went to grab that last will and testament, and you looked at it, and that seal was broken, you had no guarantee that what was inside of that last will and testament was true anymore, because someone may have tampered with it. So this angel's going about, and he's got the seal of God with him. He's carrying the seal. I don't know how big it is. I don't know if it's the signet ring or if it's a stamp, but he sees him come. and he's got a seal with him. And it's interesting because as he comes, this angel with the seal is filled with urgency because he cries with a loud voice. He said, listen, all you other four angels there that have authority over these winds, these things that come upon the earth, whether it be elections or whatever it is, you listen, you back off. You back off. This is what he's saying. He says, do not harm the earth, the sea, this is verse 3, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of God. You cannot wipe everything out until God's people are saved. And God has them numbered. There's 144,000. Again, that number is not literal. It just shows order. It shows that God knows what he's about. Life is not just happenstance. You know, I'm just a victim of circumstance. That's not what life is about. God says there's 144, exactly a cube, the right number. That's who there is going to be. And of that, in that cube is a multitude of people beyond what we can number. It is so vast. But they are known. They are numbered. They are known. And the angel's going about, and he's going to seal those that are his. That's what he's about to do, to seal those that are the Lord's. So what does a seal do? Okay, so we want to talk about the seal. I have four things that a seal does, not a sea swimming seal, the seal, okay? Four things that it does. Number one, it denotes ownership, so that if you received a letter that was sealed from the king, you would know it's good. This is the royal signet on here. Wow, this is really important. Woe be to the person that doesn't deliver this. It denotes right away ownership. So he's going about to put his ownership on the 144,000. Am I one of the 144? And again, don't get hung up on 144, you know what I mean. Are you one of those? Because this angel's going about and he's going to seal them. Am I sealed? Are you sealed? Is God coming to seal me? It denotes ownership. Who am I? 2 Corinthians 6:19-20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. Glorify him because there's been a seal stamped upon you. So glorify God with your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He has ownership. The word servants in here is really the word slaves that we read about in Revelation. The word is slaves, love slaves, that we have been purchased by one out of love, and in return we love him back, and we've become the love slaves of God, and we've been sealed. There's a stamp upon us that shows ownership. Who are you? You know, who are you? And we can read through the Bible where they say that, you know, we are the Lord's, we are his servants, ownership. And if I am sealed, there is evidence in my life that someone else owns me. If there is no evidence that I am other than my property, if my whole life says I'm all about me, I know nothing of the seal of God, because the seal denotes ownership, and we've been sealed. If I've been sealed by God, he is my owner, and my life should live that way. My life should express that way. It should show that way, right? So that's the first thing. It shows ownership. The second thing it does, the seal does, it prevents tampering, because it's the king's seal on there. Man, don't mess with that. It'll cost you your life if you mess with that. Don't be a postman who's delivering a letter where the seal's been broken. Don't do that. So it prevents tampering, thus preserving them, that is the sealed ones, as his. It preserves them, that there wouldn't be tampering. 1 Peter 1:5, we who are kept, protected by the power of God. We've been kept by the power of God. Do I feel the keeping power of God? We who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. There's a stamp on your life. There's a seal on your life, and you are the Lord's. And woe be to anything that tampers with that seal, that tries to say that you are not the Lord's. You are, you know, Wall Street's. You are whatever it is. There is a stamp on his people's lives. And if I'm one of his people, there's a seal on my life, and no one better tamper with that seal. Be careful who we share our love with. Be careful with the things that we share our hearts with, because the seal should not be tampered with. God is a jealous God, is he not? Our God is a jealous God. It says so in the scripture.
Old Testament and in the book of James. So the second thing it does, it prevents tampering. In Matthew 27:66, they put Jesus in a tomb and they roll a big stone in front of the tomb. And what do? Pilate says, "You have a guard, go your way, make it secure as you can." So they went and they made the tomb secure, sealing it. They put the seal of Rome on that stone. Anybody who messes with that seal is in big trouble. It prevents tampering. Don't let anything tamper with Christ within you. Be jealous. Be zealous for living for Christ and for nothing else. The third thing it does, it certifies genuineness. Again, if it's the king's signet, only one king, and he's only got one signet, and he's the only one who has it. And when it comes, it shows this is a genuine letter from the king. It's got his signet on it. It doesn't have mine or yours. It's got the king's signet. You have been sealed with the signet of the Almighty God. It shows, are you the Lord's? Am I the Lord's? It shows genuineness. In Genesis 1, right away, he said, "Let us make man in our image. After our likeness, let us make man." That's the image that we've been stamped with. We are God's. And then in 1 John, "Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it does not yet reveal what we shall be. But we know when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." There's a likeness to it. It shows genuineness. If I am the Lord's, my life looks like it's the Lord. Again, the old adage that's been said a lot, that if you are arrested and accused of being Christian, being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? You know? So it shows genuineness. Yeah, I am the Lord's. My life examples that I am the Lord's. I live that way. Holiness of life is proof of being sealed. In Romans 4 and 11, talking about the circumcision, it says, "And he received the sign of," that is Abraham, "he received the sign of circumcision. It was a seal of the righteousness of his faith." The sign in his flesh, again, the way I'm just, his behavior in his life was a seal that he was righteous in his faith. If I am sealed with God, there shows the genuineness of my conversion. If I have no genuineness of life, there you question my conversion. And that's why Peter says, make your calling and your election sure, brothers and sisters. That's why the 13th chapter of Matthew was filled with examples of, for instance, he casts into the net into the sea, and he pulls out all manner of fish, some good and some bad. And when he gets it on shore, then he separates them. He talks about the wheat and the tares. Let them grow up together. Again, Matthew 13. And in the end, we'll separate the wheat from the tares. Make your calling and your election sure. The 25th chapter of Matthew, the 25th chapter, the 10 virgins, 5 were in, 5 were not. Then there were sheep and goats that he separated. And then there was ones who earned reward because of their life living for Christ, and one who hadn't. And all the way through are these warnings. So make your calling and election sure. It says of the apostles in the 4th chapter of Acts that the Sanhedrin and the men who witnessed these dumb fishermen, they said that they took notice that these men had been with Jesus. What a testimony to the world that they look at you and they give notice that this man's been in his prayer closet. This woman's been in her prayer closet. This woman's been with Christ. There's something different about them. They're otherworldly. And whether they love us or not for it is another question. The fourth thing is that it guarantees a destination. It guarantees destination. Now, that's the one to think about, isn't it? It guarantees destination because it's, listen, when that last will and testament is sealed, it's guaranteed that an attorney is going to get that because no one else can execute it but some type of an attorney. It guarantees where it's going. This letter that's sealed by the king, it guarantees that it's going to whoever it's addressed to. It's going to go to that person. Or else someone's going to lose their life for screwing it up or for tampering with it. Someone's going to be in trouble. But we're talking about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. No one's going to usurp his will. And it guarantees destination. It guarantees destination. It doesn't mean that we don't have a work in that. I want to be careful. I'm not saying that now that you're saved, you can live any way you want to and you're going to end up in heaven. One say, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you live the way you're supposed to live and you will end up in heaven. It's the proof that you are sealed. It's the proof that you are born again, and it guarantees your destination. Your life guarantees it. The way you live guarantees it. Your language guarantees it. Your love for one another guarantees it. 2 Timothy 4:18. And the Lord shall deliver me. Deliver. We're talking about something being sent. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and then he will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. From something to something. Guarantees. Paul says, I know who I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He knew where he was being delivered unto. It guarantees delivery. He preserved me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It guarantees destination. Look at one with me, Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians, because you won't find chapter 5 in the second book of Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And let's start in verse 8. We're jumping in the thought here. The thought is that there are some men who aren't what they're supposed to be, doing things they aren't supposed to do. Verse 8, But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath. Appoint meaning sending us someplace. He didn't appoint. He didn't set. The word is to set or ordain. He didn't send us someplace. He didn't set us someplace for wrath. That's not where he's sending us, to wrath. For the Lord God did not appoint us to wrath. Again, look at the word, it's us. Paul is writing to specific people, the people in the church. He talks about them prior to that. Keep it in the context. He didn't send us. He hasn't appointed us unto wrath. He's appointed us unto something else. He did not appoint us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. That's our destination. It guarantees destination. If I'm the Lord's, if I'm living for him, my destination is complete. It's finished. It's going to be with him. It's not to wrath. It's to this. It's to him. It's to glory. So there's guarantees destination. So there's four things that has sealed us. Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, that is the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed. Having believed. Again, remember, believe is an action word. It means that you've been believed. You believe into something. If I believe in the water in the pool, I'm moved into the water of the pool. So having believed into him, I've been sealed. God seals it. He sealed the ark. That's what it says. When Noah and his family went into the ark, God closed them in. That's the word. He sealed them in. God seals us in by his Holy Spirit. In him also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Have you been sealed? Your life has to look like it. It isn't just a promise to claim, and since I can claim it, it's mine. Am I sealed in by the Holy Spirit? Am I filled with the Holy Spirit? Am I motivated by the Spirit of God? Does the Spirit motivate me? Do I obey the Spirit of God? Sealed in by the Spirit of God. Who is the guarantee? What do we need a guarantee for? Because we're going someplace. It pictures movement again. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory? We've been sealed in and by the Holy Spirit, and it's a down payment of what we're going to see when we get there. Again, it's destination when we get there. But am I sealed by the Holy Ghost? you know, aren't you tired of, and I just do not want to be negative, but of seeing men and women in and out, on fire for the Lord, on fire for the world. You know, supposedly loving the Lord and then not loving the Lord. I struggle. It's such a burden. I mean, how it must hurt the heart of God if it bothers me. It must really hurt the Spirit of God. Sealed in with the promise of the Holy Ghost. Sealed in once and for all. My eternal choice is made. Christ for me. Christ for me. No wavering, you know, vacillating in and out. Man, be on fire for Christ and be in, all in. Let the Holy Ghost seal you in the ark that you can't get out unless God opens the door, and he's not going to open the door till we get to glory. Be sealed in the tomb with him. And there's no way out until he brings resurrection in the new life for us in the next heaven. You know, that's what we want to be, is sealed with him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 21 and 22, now he who establishes us with you, what wonderful condensation of Paul as he, you know, he says, now he who establishes us with you. Wouldn't it be great if Paul says, hey, I'm with you. We're together, you. Well, Jesus says that. We're together. I'm with you. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Do I know that I'm born again? I know there's times, and especially early in the Christian life, where you wonder, am I really saved? You know, keep pressing on. God will make it sure in your life. God will give you the witness in your life that, yeah, you are his. So the seal is the Holy Ghost making us his. The seal is the stamp that redeems us as his. The seal certifies us to be his. The seal preserves us to be his. This is the seal of God. And the angel said, don't you destroy. You can take no lives. You can do nothing until God has sealed those that he's going to seal. In 2 Timothy 2:19, turn there with me. 2 Timothy 2:19. Again, the warning in this section is about workers who have been disapproved. Not necessarily lost salvation, but they're not doing what they should be doing. They've gotten sidetracked. And we come into verse 18, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Again, that just makes them discouraged, and it doesn't mean they're not saved. It means that they're missing the mark there. Nevertheless, okay, even though some people do that, they walk the wrong way, they say the wrong things, they preach the wrong things, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands sure. God's foundation, though there's men who twist the truth, though there's men that do this or that or exit the faith, whatever, though nevertheless, the foundation of God, it stands sure. Now, the foundation of God, what is the foundation of God? There's different answers for it, but the foundation of God is Christ. It's him. It's salvation. It's redemption that he died for us. And they can preach whatever they want to preach. The Jehovah's Witnesses can preach that Jesus is not God. The Mormons can preach that Jesus is not God. They are wrong. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. Some people say that foundation is the church. Stands sure, because when we go to further into Revelation, it talks about the temple of God, and it's inscribed on the foundation. That it's Christ, and that is the apostles and whatever. So, but I see it as Christ. The foundation of God stands sure. Okay, having this seal. Okay, the church has this seal on it. The Lord knows those who are his. The Lord knows those who are his. There's 144,000, whatever the number is. The Lord knows those who are his. In Acts, God says to Paul in one place, it's Acts 18, I have many people in this city yet. Because Paul says, we're going to leave now, God. And he says, no, you can't leave because I got many people in this city yet. I trust God has many people in this city and in Marshall and in Cambie and wherever our feet take us, that there's many people there yet. But the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. See, there's the two. The Lord knows those who are his. And if you're his, you're going to depart from iniquity. If you do not depart from iniquity, you're not his. There's always this balancing thing there. But so it says, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. And the word know there, it's used of Mary uses the word when she tells the angel, well, how can this thing be? How can I have a child seeing that I've never known a man? Or Adam knew his wife. That's what it means. God knows them that are his. He's known us before the foundation of the world. We've been known by him. And God knows us. And he knows us. And it's going to stand sure. The seal of God will not be moved. It will not be broken. It stands sure because it's in God. And so we see in Revelation 7 as we come around the corner that they stand and they cry, salvation belongs to our God. This is the great worship of heaven, is the sovereignty of God. They worship him upon the throne. Salvation belongs to our God. Salvation belongs to him. And they realize it. And this is the worship of heaven forever and ever, the worship of heaven. They don't worship his ability to create, you know, his creative power on the earth. That's not what they're worshiping. They're not worshiping his ability to do signs and healing and wonders. That's not what they're worshiping. They're worshiping the God whose salvation belongs unto our God. Wow, this is what they worship. And then again, this seal, the Holy Ghost does this by performing and perfecting the image of Christ in us. Romans 8:29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Am I sealed? If I'm sealed, I'm being conformed to the image of his Son. I cannot live in sin. It is not an environment that we can breathe in. It's not an environment that we can live in. God save us from self-contained underwater breathing apparatuses, scuba. You know, save us from being able to live in sin when we're his. How can that be? What fellowship, what communion, communion can sin have with righteousness, with light, with darkness? How can this be? So there's the challenge. These ones that are sealed also are protected from the wrath of God that we see earlier in chapter 6, where they want to run and hide. They're sealed from this great wrath of God. Saints are sealed on their foreheads. It mentions that in verse 3. I'm back in chapter 7 of Revelation. And we're getting close to wrapping up here. Verse 3, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God on their foreheads. Very specifically, on their foreheads. The forehead, again, has emphasis. It is that noble part of the body. When you come into a room or someone comes into a room, we catch their face, and their forehead is to be the most prominent. That's what it was in the East. It was the most prominent part of the body was the forehead. And so it's a place that they're sealed that everybody can see it. It draws attention to the body, this sealing on the forehead. It draws attention to that. So it's the most prominent and noble part of the body. It's really figurative of the heart, because what we believe and what comes out of us, and our life is to be lived like a fountain. It just comes out. What's in the heart's got to come out of us. And so we got to be sealed in the heart, circumcised in the heart, if you want to use those terms. In Revelation 9:4, it says, they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. So there's going to be hurt because they don't have the seal of God. Listen, the seal of God is rampant through Revelation. Like I said, it's mentioned 19 times in chapter 14, 1 again. I'll read one more and then I'll... Then I looked, and behold, a lamb was standing on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having their father's name written on their foreheads. It shows ownership. It shows genuineness. It shows delivery. It shows that we're not to be tampered with. and they have this on their foreheads. It's the name of their Father, God, on their foreheads. This is who we are. We stand out. And here's the danger of it. Also, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times it talks about those who are not gods being sealed on their foreheads, having bowed to Antichrist. And, you know, again, people, you know, they try to interpret these things literally, and they come up with these weird pictures with someone with a tattoo, 666, on their foreheads. You know, no one's going to walk around as vain as we are with a tattoo on their heads. It means the thoughts of their hearts. And what 666 is, this is what it is, me, me, me. It's the number of man. It's all about me. And look at the generation we're living in. Look at the children that are coming up in the world and the murders going on in the world and all this. It's all me, me, me. And listen, the choices we make today determine what mark we're going to wear. It isn't one day I'm going to show up at the Social Security office and they're going to say, hey, you got to take a mark. Are you going to take the mark of the world, or are you going to take this other silly heavenly mark? What mark? It's not what it's going to be. It's by the decisions I make. Gradually, slowly drifting into a place where it's me, me, me. And I'll be so miserable in me, me, me. So miserable there. But that's what it is. It's choices that we make every day. I could give you, I got the verses written down here in Revelation about receiving the mark of the beast. And Babylon has the mark of the beast. And it's all about who will we serve. And it's, again, it, don't think like, oh, I'm okay because I'd never take a mark. You might have already taken a mark. I might have already taken the mark because I'm so after the things of the world. I'm so after myself. I put me first all the time. Me, 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 me. There it is, the mark of the beast. 666, man, 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 me, me, me. And the choices we make every single day put a mark on us. Whose mark are we wearing? So that's the warning for us. Oh, that we would honor the value of the seal of God in our hearts, that nothing could break through that seal but God himself. So sealed up in our hearts that nothing, no sin could get through into our hearts. No self would reign in our hearts because we've been sealed in with God. To be so sealed that nothing is there. Jesus said, Satan has come. His hour is here and he has come and he's come to me. But he has nothing in me. He was sealed. And oh, that we would be in such a place that as we go on with the Lord from day to day, we know more and more and more about the seal of God, being freed from selfishness and know more and more of holiness and know more and more of Christ, being alone with him. For the Lord knows those that are his. There's a knowing going on. There's a relationship going on between him and his. Oh, to know that. So, oh, that I would value the seal of God, that none could enter my heart. No sin, no self, God only. Oh, Lord, seal my eyes. Seal my ears. Seal my mouth. Seal my hands. Seal my thoughts, that no pride would reign there. Pride is maybe the most ugliest of all the sins. You know, we talk about, you know, whatever it is, drug addiction, pornography as being horrible, and it is horrible, but pride gets us all there. Pride is the king of sins, and wow, it so easily besets us. Seal our ears, our eyes, our mouth, our minds, that Satan would have nothing in us. You know, there's a discipline in that. So, in ending here, the seal, notice one last phrase back here in chapter 7 in verse 2. Then I saw, I'm reading verse 2 again, chapter 7. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of who? The living God. Everything that seal touches is alive. Am I alive today? Was I alive in worship today? Am I alive tomorrow? Alive unto God and dead unto the world. It's the seal of, this is his title. He is the living God. David said to Goliath, who are you that you would dare challenge the armies of the living God? Is our God alive? You know, everything he touches. Read you a verse from Ezekiel 47 and 9. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go will live. Wherever the rivers go, it'll live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there. For they will be healed and everything will live wherever the river goes. Wherever God goes, they live. This is the seal of the living God. Man, am I in love with Christianity? Am I in love with Christ? Am I happy to be saved? Do I proclaim it when I get the opportunity about Christ? Do I worship Him exuberantly, you know, extravagantly? Do I worship Him because I've come in touch with the living God? He's not a dead God. You know, it wasn't a dead God that raised Jesus from the dead. It wasn't because He was dead. He was alive. You cannot keep me under. I am the resurrection and the life. Isn't that what He said? I am the way, the truth, and the life. The living God. Out of our bellies will flow rivers of living waters. He is the living God. This excites me that this seal, it's the seal of the living God. Man, we need to be alive. Alive unto God and dead unto self. That's what it says. In Deuteronomy 32, see now that I am He, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. This is who I am, and there is no other God. I wound and I heal, nor is there any other God but me who can deliver you. I make alive. So has the Spirit made us alive? Am I alive to Christ? We've got so far to go, you know, and it's so easy to be alive on Sunday morning. You know, if you can't make it on Sunday morning being alive, whoa, I'm going to have trouble on Monday, that's for sure, or Tuesday or Thursday. But, you know, this is Him. It's the seal of the living God. Isn't that good that He gives life? And everywhere He goes, He brings life. Everywhere He goes, He brings life. You know, Jesus had to specifically say, Lazarus, come forth, because if He had just said, come forth, all the graveyard would have gotten up. You know, He had to specify, one of you can come out of your grave, that's Lazarus, the rest you're going to stay there, because He's the living God. That's who our God is. So, you know, Lord, take us on and make us alive, more sensitive to being sealed in. And again, remember these four things of the seal. It shows ownership. It protects us from tampering. It proves genuineness. And it guarantees a destination. And it's the seal of the living God. God, bring life. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your scriptures to us. Lord, would You make us alive in areas of in our life, Lord, where maybe we're dead. Lord, areas in our life that maybe have succumbed to discouragement. Lord, areas in our life that may have given way to sin in our life. Whatever it might be, Lord, would You come this moment and make us alive. Holy Spirit, would You come and make us alive, Lord. Everywhere that the rivers went, everything lived. Lord, would You come and make us alive? Lord, that we would know the seal of the living God. Come and breathe upon us, Father, we pray. We just ask You to come and do these things, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen.